Well, mom's where we all want to be. I just thank the Lord for the privilege of knowing, you know, that she was saved and being able to serve the Lord with her. She loved this church. She missed it every time she didn't get to come. And those about eight months she couldn't come, that's all she talked about was people here in the church and the preaching. And she got saved in 1984 in Pineview Bible Camp, which I just praise the Lord for all the preachers there, Brother Moore, and all the wonderful men that have upheld the Word of God, rightly divided, and not given up, even though it's hard sometimes to stand strong when other men, you know, are shallow and don't want to stand up for the truth. We just thank the Lord for all of you, how you've helped with Mom. And really, she thought this church helped her more than you'll ever know. And when she wanted to go on, she started letting me know she was just tired of this world. And she said, I don't need to go through any more in this world. I'm ready to go. I got to see her go on to the Lord, and it was a blessed thing knowing, you know, someone's saved. I just praise the Lord for it. And I praise the Lord for the preaching here and tonight. I'm not going to speak anymore. I just want to pray. Everybody be praying as the preaching and the singing tonight, because people that are lost out there need to know this free gift that our Savior gave us.
Okay. We'll have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this moment in time. We appreciate the opportunity to preach Your word, to celebrate Mrs. Holloway's death, and to bring in a notice to all that are lost that they need a time and a moment in which they can trust the Lord. For we ask it all in Christ's name and in His special blood. Amen. We've got some special music for you. This is one Jeff's been working on. We'll probably do this one Sunday too, but it is actually one of the most biblical songs in the sense of the resurrection. And I asked Jeff kind of on the spur of the moment. Christy and him been working on a couple weeks, but I appreciate them stepping up. It's a great song.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. You did what only you could, turning that dark inspired evil of hell into our soul's greatest good. We see the love that you showed.
Mrs. Holloway's favorite Christian song, and she's going to do it a cappella. So, Christian. Yeah.
I scarce can take it in. that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Hallelujah.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart.
Amen.
Then I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my
done. Whew, that was good. That doesn't make you want to shout. You just think you're going to shout. I'm looking for the day when he takes me home. It's our hope. If you don't get that, you ain't got it. If this planet is your home and you're interested in the things in it, then you got the wrong vision. Miss Holloway was born on the 29th, 1924. And she passed away. It was fantastic. On the day that I got saved, 27 years ago, Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock. What a great memory that will be. She's been survived by all five kids who are all still alive. Wayne and Sherry Holloway, which are the oldest. Preston and Elise Holloway, which are in Fairhope, Alabama. Of course, Barry and Brenda Hampton. Onita and Sven Solberg in Orlando. And Lloyd Holloway in Bloomington or somewhere down. Alford. He's down there. He's right near Marianne. I don't know where. Grandchildren are Mitch and Brett, Jason and Jamie, and of course Jonathan is deceased, my other. Morgan. These are tears of sadness, but joy. I just want you to know it's a great thing. It's a fantastic thing. And Christopher. And then two grandchildren, Michael and Megan, great-grandchildren. And so she had a pile full of people. So we're having the wedding. that's okay. Hey, listen, no, well, you know what's funny about that is Brenda was calling the nurse, does someone have a Kleenex? I'm like blowing snot. I mean, it's okay, but I've got it all over my hands now, so I'm turning the Bible will be fun. Anyway, it was funny because the whole week Brenda was calling the nurse the midwife, and I said, "Honey, she's not having a baby. She's going home, but she ain't having a baby." She said the midwife was here again today. Yeah, I don't think she needs one of them. But anyway, she would have been 86 the 29th of this month, which was, I guess, Sunday or Monday. Monday, I guess. And we think she was holding on for her birthday, but she had a real birthday. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what happens in death. A lot of people get a little confused. And I hope I can in some way enlighten you and straighten it up in some degree to what actually happens. And I'm going to use the board if that's okay. We don't normally have those at funerals, so I get to do that anyway. But won't have it down there. But the first thing I want you to see is this is what happened to Miss Holloway is common to all men. It is not uncommon. These are commonalities of all men, and it's going to happen to you. It doesn't matter if you're Josh's age or Megan's age or if you're my age. It doesn't really matter. It's common to all men. And you're not going to prevent this from happening. The other strange thing about this event is it's not date-oriented. That is, you can't say, well, I'm going to live to 80 years old, or I'm going to live to 75, or I'm going to live to 55. My son died at 9, and I know Jim's grandson, Heaven Lee, died right off out of birth. And so it does not cover a time span, but it is a guarantee that you will have to face it. And in Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible says in verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That's the real question in tow there. It's the question isn't whether you're going to die. You are going to die. So the rapture may happen. That will be like death. It won't be the same. And the problem is that you're enrobed with something that keeps you out of it. Go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 and look there, if you will, in your Bible, please. And I appreciate the Bibles. They won't be there probably at the funeral, very many. I hope somebody will bring one. It's all that matters. At the end of your life, this is all that matters. It won't matter how much money you made. It won't matter what kind of kingdom you had. It won't matter how many times you did this or that. All that will matter is what I'm about to give you tonight. That's all that your life is going to sum up to. And so if you're artificially thinking it's something else, you're deceived. People ask me, how do I stay passionate after 25 years of pastoring? And I can tell you it's really simple. I see people every day in my conversation going to hell and burning for all eternity. And my job is to make sure that those people don't go there. My job isn't to make them a better person. I hope their mom and dad gave them morals. But morality is not spirituality. That's a confusion in the churches today. They want to teach morality, and I'm all for that, but I think your mom and dad should teach you that. And when you lie, I think your mom and dad ought to wash your mouth out with soap. You know, I think those are really good things. But I'm here to teach you about a moment in time that's coming, and you're not going to avoid it. In fact, there could be one of you, look around this room, one of you will be the next in this room to die. Make no mistake about it. It is going to happen, and it is for real. And here's the problem. Look in Hebrews, 1 Corinthians 15. Look, if you will, in verse 50. Now this I say then, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we're stuck in these robes of flesh and blood, but if we take the flesh and blood off, what happens to us? We die. You cannot enter in the kingdom in this flesh and blood. You have to put the robe off. You have to take the robe off. And Brenda called me right when she had died, and she said, she's an empty shell. And that is true. That is true. She became an empty shell. That body, and people always worry about, oh, I'm not sure I ought to be cremated. Mom was that way. She didn't want to be cremated. But it doesn't really matter. That's not the situation. That's, you know, people worry about those kind of things. Listen, there's been bones in Ezekiel 37. He's going to gather together the nothing but dust. And he's going to gather them together. Hey, listen, we're talking about God. You know, but here's the problem. You can't get here. And so Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, Mom left her body. And there's three things that really is transpiring. And there's the earth. She was up here. As soon as she died, the spirit that kept her alive. Now, I'm not talking about the spirit of God. I'm talking about the heartbeat that you are, according to Ecclesiastes, and we're going to look at that, goes back to be with God. Now you have a body and a soul. Now, there's a lot of people that believe that when you die, you go to heaven. I don't believe that. I believe when you die, you're in the Lord, asleep. You don't have to believe that, and I'm not asking, I'm going to try to prove it a little bit, but we're limited on time, so I may not get all the way through it, but I do believe that song that Jeff and Christy played, I will rise when he calls my name. God is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. Well, if they were already rise, they wouldn't have to say rise first. That would be a weird grammatical mess up in English. God didn't mess up. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Well, how can we be caught up together if they're already up there? That doesn't make sense grammatically. And you can argue with me. I don't really care. If it brings you comfort to think someone's in heaven, you think whatever you got to think. You'll just be biblically wrong. And the reason I'm telling you this is because when the Lord comes down and he shouts, buddy, it will be a day and a moment in a twinkle of an eye that will be a joy for all of us. It will be as if you walked through the portal of death. And here's the thing. I believe that the Apostle Paul, the first in the body, will be going up with you. And it'll be just like he had died. He won't know that there's any time. Anybody ever fell asleep? I mean, they came in from a hard work and they said, I'm just going to take a little nap. And the next thing they know, they wake up in the morning and it's like, whoa, what happened there? Well, that's kind of like falling asleep in the Lord. And Miss Holloway's not going to heaven because she was a good woman. At times she could be bitter. Argumentative. She could be mean at times, just like the rest of us. Amen? I mean, she isn't any different than us. But the reason she's going to be in the comfort of the Lord and in the rapture of the church isn't because she was good. It's because she had a testimony of salvation. I looked at it very, very hard. I tried to find it. I definitely want to find your grandmother's before she dies, because these were great testimonies we did here of both her and Catherine Newton and Miss Holloway. And I couldn't find Miss Holloway's personal testimony when she stands up and gives her own testimony when she got saved. It's powerful. We played it at the conference. Y'all remember that? That was great. So I'm looking for that film, and she should have not taken 86 years to die. I probably needed 100 to find it all. That death, that testimony is what makes this death different than lost people. The other thing I want you to know is I've never been to a funeral that nobody made it into heaven. I mean, every funeral I've ever been to, people sneak in. You know, the guy's a boozer, never went to church, you know, and somehow they found out he was a good eater. So just because he was a good eater, he gets in or something. And I hear that. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. And I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a great honor and a great joy to preach a memorial service for anybody. But I'm going to ask you a serious question at the end. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." You got it? The Lord knows. But He doesn't know everybody. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Look at this. Matthew chapter 7. Look, if you will, in verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy names cast out devils, and in thy names done many wondrous works? And then I will profess unto them," everybody read with me, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." See, God can't say that to Miss Holloway. The foundation standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are His. She trusted the Lord. In that trust, she was sealed unto the day of redemption. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. There was no way she could lose her salvation, no matter what she was or what she became. It wasn't about her. It was about having a Savior. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm always amazed at how men think it's all about them. It isn't about you at all. It's about the work and the finished work of Calvary.
Amen.
It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." See, the moment she trusted the Lord, the moment Miss Holloway trusted the Lord, even though she wasn't any good, even though she was not a nice person, even though she was this or that, the moment she trusted the Lord, she was sealed unto that day. That day is interesting. He didn't say, "Seal on to the moment that you die." He said, "That day." Well, in the timeline, that's the rapture or the catching out of the church. You all understand? If everybody was going to heaven, why would they be sealed unto that day? That day is not their death. That day is when that shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, hey, that's the day. God's got a day. What's going to happen? He's coming back to get those, and by His voice, call forth, and He can open the graves, guys. That's the hope. Dig your way out. Try it. Mac back there does the things with funeral homes and stuff. You ever seen one dig out of the grave, brother? They want to resume a body. It takes a backhoe and a little bit of that and some legal stuff to get them out now. And not when the Lord comes. And you know, people don't really understand that. That's our hope. Go to Ecclesiastes. Common to man. Ecclesiastes is a fantastic book. It really deals with what you do between birth and death. And I want you to go to Ecclesiastes 12. Was talking to Roman Miller up in Kentucky, and he said somebody died in peace. They must have been saved. That's not a testimony of salvation. Man, they give them at the end of their life enough morphine to sank a battleship. Miss Holloway didn't feel anything. She was not in pain the last 5 days. Your mom too. It's amazing. That didn't mean diddly. When was it that you got saved? When was there a time, a date in your life that you came to know the Lord? I know preachers that preach for years lost. I've seen people go around professing they know the Lord. They didn't know the Lord any more than a ball, and they were lost as a ball in high weeds. They didn't understand the whole thing. And so in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 12, he's talking about the death process a little bit. And I find it fascinating that he encourages the youth. So Josh, Megan, Hannah, you guys listen. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We were sitting there one day and we were singing Christian songs, and Brenda and I were in the room. I was in the rocker and Brenda was standing right by her head, petting her head. And we were singing, and Miss Holloway was singing along with us. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I don't know when, maybe a month ago, it's kind of gotten blurred, you know. And we stopped that song and it was kind of quiet in the room for just a minute. And she said, I want to go home. And Brenda said, Mariana? She said, no, I want to go to home be with the Lord. She had gotten to the point where there was no pleasure in this life anymore. She said, well, that won't come. Ron, how you doing, brother? You having a lot of pleasure? It's just filled with heartache and pain, isn't it? I mean, that's what it's all. This life, if you read Ecclesiastes, is that way. People are going to die, lie to you, cheat you, steal you out of business. You name it, it'll happen. Hope nothing bad happens, but I can tell you it probably will. He says, while the sun and the light and the moon and the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. For the days when the keeper of the house shall tremble. You ever watch old people, their hands shake? And they're strong men. They can't support themselves with their own legs. You know something about that, don't you, brother? Wayne, you know something about your strong man's not supporting you anymore, is it?
Amen.
It's coming. Say, it ain't coming. It is coming. You can't stop it. And the grinders shall cease because they are few. She didn't have any. False teeth. Anybody here have a partial? Guess what? It just keeps going. Eventually, you'll just be toothless. It'll be like this. That's the way it is. Say, well, I can prevent that. Well, you ought to start flossing when you're young. Amen?
Amen.
I'm just telling you, all these things are going to happen. You say, it won't happen to me. Oh, when I was Bill's age, I thought I could, man, I thought I could bite nails and spit out bullets, buddy. I hit 50, and it ain't no fun. So I asked my dad, who's just about 80, and I said, Dad, how's 80? He said, it ain't for sissies. That's a fact. Amen? It ain't going to get any better. You know, if I was Jeff's age, I'd take a picture now, brother. It ain't going to be that way for long. Amen, Don? Tell these boys that. I watched it. It was kind of funny. We were working on the roof. And I used to jump on a roof and nail the roof. And everybody was scared to get up there, man. That's high. Well, watch this. And the doors shall shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinders is low. She got to where she couldn't hear at all. He shall rise up at the voice of the birds. Anybody get up early? You don't know why? And all the daughters of the music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, there you go. I know how that feels. and fear shall be in the way. It was funny. I was Mrs. Holloway's security blanket. And when I left town, she'd get nervous. She didn't like when I left. I was her, I guess, buddy. Pretty amazing, but she got to where this was true of her. And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. And that's the spirit of man. There we are right there. And these things then go. The body goes into the earth, and guess what's going to happen to it? It's going to become 2 pounds of dirt. You got it? That's what's going to happen to that. Oh, yeah, we embalm them and we make them look good, like, oh, we're sending them on. But the reality is there nothing but an earthen vessel. That's it. There's nothing there. And so then you have the soul. Well, look what Paul says about this. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Well, go to 1 Thessalonians first, I think, would be a good place. 1 Thessalonians 4. Well, hang on to that. I do want 1 Corinthians 15 first. The verse popped in my mind. Sorry about that. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Well, listen, let me tell you what. Death doesn't have anything on Miss Holloway. She hadn't died. She's asleep in the Lord. Now, if you die lost, you're dead. Never to become back alive again. Punished only by everlasting fire that will burn for all eternity. And make no mistake, God will throw you there. I mean, it's not a joke. There's in some play game with me. I'm not playing church here, boys and girls. I'm telling you, your friends, your loved ones, there's a lot of people around Montgomery right now going to hell because they have no idea what the gospel is. I ask people all the time, what's the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection. That ain't the gospel. You know what the gospel is? Christ died for our sins. That's the gospel. And yes, he was dead, buried, and he rose again. But if he hadn't died for your sins, you'd still be in trouble right here. So death, where is thy sting? Or grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Well, guess what she didn't have? She didn't have any sin. Why? Because she was a good person, gave it up, repented? No, because Jesus Christ died for her sins. That's why she had no sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Miss Holloway was a part of our church. She was a member and loved by all the people here. She was a sweet old woman at times. Amen. Sometimes she was a little cantankerous. Stan kept her a little bit, didn't you, buddy? Mary? Jean? I don't know if anyone else kept her, but it could get exciting at times. But that's not what made her saved. And that isn't what made me love her. What made me love her is her testimony of the Lord. And she never wavered on that. Ever. It was fascinating because right after I got saved, I wanted to preach and really got fired up about the gospel. I can't tell if it's gone away yet. I'm still pretty fired up. But every time I went to the farm down in Marianna, we'd set up a little preaching thing in Preston, and Elise wasn't quite in the picture at the time, but I don't know if we did it while Elise was here or not, but Preston and Mitchell and Brett and my children and Lloyd and Dad and Mom, and we'd have Bible study, 2 hours. Set up on the dining room table with a box with a thing on it, and I'd preach. And those people let me preach when I had no business preaching. I was saved, but I didn't know much. And they were always very kind to me about my preaching. And they loved the Word of God, and they loved Bible conferences. They loved hearing the preaching of the Word of God. People have called me from all over. We posted it on Facebook, and we've had people say, "I remembered your mom back in 1975. And I said, "Well, she got saved in 1984 at Bible camp. That was a blessing." And she testified to that. She thought she was good the whole time growing up. She thought she was better than others. But let me tell you what, when the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes, you have to answer it. See, death doesn't have any sting over her because sin wasn't hers. It was imputed on the Lord. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, she had no sin. There was no sting of death in her. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the words of reconciliation. Verse 21, for He, that is God Almighty, hath made Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. That's the whole deal right there. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, death is common to all men. It's going to happen to all men, but it's what happened with judgment. See, she's going to a place called the judgment seat of Christ, and the lost are going to go to a place called the great white throne judgment. And let me tell you, they're worlds apart. Say, "Well, I've been good all my life." You have not. You know, the Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." I know you're a liar. I know your mama washed your mouth out with soap, but it didn't stop you. I know your mom and daddy spanked you, but it didn't stop you. You need a Savior. That's what you need. And the reason Miss Holloway's going to heaven is she had a Savior. She knows of a day when she trusted the Lord. I asked a man not too long ago, "Give me your testimony." He refused. Why would a man refuse to give you his testimony if he's saved? You understand? There's a problem there, isn't there? It doesn't matter how much Bible knowledge you know. I mean, my goodness, I've known some awfully smart theologians that were lost. Amen? I mean, the Bible says in 2 Timothy, they were ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I've seen them time and time again. It's not that. When was there a time in your life that you were saved? When was there a time that you knew that you went from life, from death onto life? No doubt, no shadow. And you know what? If you have that peace, it never leaves you. You'll never doubt that.
Amen.
You'll never go, "I wonder what happened, when it happened." You'll know when that happens. That is so important. See, I get up here tonight, and those tears were just emotionally pulled from that song. Is that not a great song? And Chrissy, you did a great job singing it. I love that. They don't write songs like that anymore. That person knew the same Savior I knew. Today, 7-Eleven, you know, 7 words repeated 11 times. That song, of all great songs, "How Great Thou Art," Buddy, that's the song. That's the anthem. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll finish up here in just a minute. But I'm going to do something I've never done before. And I hope some of you will share with us. In 1 Corinthians 15, is that where I told you to go? Huh, good. Verse 50 again. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Well, if they're already going, why are they waiting for the last trump to go? Hello? Amen? Now, how many has heard that argument? Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How many's heard that?
Amen.
And they think, well, that means we go right to heaven, right? Go to 2 Corinthians 5. It doesn't say that at all. That's not what it said. You didn't read your Bible very well. This is what it said. Verse 8. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. It didn't say when you were absent from the body, you'd be immediately present with the Lord. But our heart says we are willing to be that. You understand? People read that verse all the time. They just leave out the willing part. You're going to sleep. And the dead in Christ shall what? Rise incorruptible. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. And we shall be changed, the ones that are still alive. And on and on. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to start in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. He's going to rapture them. He's got the power over the grave. He has the power over the grave. He can shout at that grave and say, come forth, Lazarus, and Lazarus out of the dead and the stink of his body can rise incorruptible and come and talk to you. That's the power of God. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's Lord over the grave. He has the ability to call forth out of the grave life out of nothing that was there and give it life and bring it forth. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Well, if they were in heaven, how could we prevent them? I mean, the grammar will not let you play around. I've worked on this for years. It just keeps going the same direction. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Can I get a shout?
Amen.
With a shout and the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall what? He will call my name, no more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings. Wow. It's coming. It's coming a day when their shout is going to happen. And my son and Miss Holloway are going to come out of the grave. Hallelujah. And have victory over all of what they were. But I want you to know right now, there is no more pain. All the things that hurt her and bothered her and ached her on this planet have been removed. And she's at peace, asleep in the Lord. You know, guys, that's the hope. This church is different than other churches, I think. or at least I hope it is. I want people to make sure that they're going to heaven. I want to make sure that they're not left behind. Because if you miss that moment, you in this room will be damned, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he says, "And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Doesn't matter if you died. He's going to come, and he is going to be able to shout down at that grave from heaven, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Hallelujah. Amen. That's it. That's the hope. We which are alive and remain at that moment that are saved will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I tell you, it's the greatest hope I know. I got saved the 24th of August, 1983. I was in my bathroom. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning. I had prayed for 2 hours and the Lord never answered my prayer. But at the end of that prayer, I quit praying. And I said to myself in that bathroom, and I'm sitting there just boohooing, I was under such conviction. I said, "Lord, the problem with me is I'm lost. I know I'm lost. And I need you to save me." And as soon as I thought that thought in my mind, the moment it happened, peace came over me. Amen. I have never doubted my salvation ever since. I know where I was, when it was. I know that I can even remember, you know how it's you get cold in the house and in the summer day, all the windows are foggy or with moisture. That's how that was. And I remember looking at those things and thinking, it's just me and the Lord here. I've got to settle this thing. And I wrote my testimony down in one of my Bibles that day. I explained that I gave it all up, that it wasn't me, that it was all what Jesus Christ did for me at Calvary. And I've had peace ever since. I wanted to preach this truth because I knew my dad didn't have it. My mom, I don't know whether she had it before she died. I wanted my sisters to have it. I didn't want any of my friends and families to go to hell. And so I became little preacher man right out of the bout. And I wrote that song, and I like to sing it to you now. All you got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. He totally paid the price, isn't he gracious and nice? That all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is receive the finished work of Calvary. He totally paid the price, isn't he gracious and nice? That all you got to do is receive. Well, Miss Holloway did. 1984, she received. She received what the finished work of Calvary was for her. And so death has no sting over her, and her hope is secured in Christ. What I want to do, I've never done this at a memorial, I've never done this at a funeral. If you've got a testimony of salvation and nobody's heard it, because you know what? You could die tonight. Honestly, you could die tonight. On the way home, I would hate for that to happen. And maybe you would have me to do your funeral. Well, I can look around the room and I can tell you for a fact I haven't heard everyone's testimony. You got it? Some of the testimonies I've heard, I've doubted. But it could happen tonight. Happen on the way home. When you walk out those doors lost, it's been a waste of time. When you walk out those doors lost, it's been a waste of time. So I want you got to really start thinking about it. What happens if you died? Where would you spend eternity, you see? That really comes down to the question, amen? It
Heck with Miss Holloway for a minute, right? It's all done. You can't do anything about Miss Holloway right now. I feel that very comfortable that she's with the Lord because of her testimony, not because of her action. Her action would have maybe told me something different. How about you? Haven't really stood up and given your testimony? You'd like the moment to give your testimony? I'd like to hear it. And I'd like to have it recorded on this memorial for Miss Holloway. Wayne, did you want to?
Yeah, I'll give mine because some people may have not heard it, and I know you've told it. But mine is just basically that I was very religious. I knew the religious system. I had been raised in churches my whole life, and my mother drugged me from a child. And, you know, I never had that peace. I know numerous times I've gone to the altar, and I've told Barry, I said at 18, I remember the guy preaching a sermon about hell, and you could actually feel the heat in the room. It was so hot that he knew how to do it and put that, you know, picture there in your mind. And I went and prayed the prayer, but I never felt the peace. And then we went over to Barry's one time after I met him, and he asked me simple questions. I couldn't answer, but I could give him my religious system. I couldn't give him my Bible. And about 3.5 hours worth of Bible study, and you know, Barry never said, you know, what I believe. He said, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And I, you know. And then on the way home at night, me and Mary was talking, and I can tell you exactly where I was. I was sitting in my Cadillac. I was riding down Federal Drive. I stopped at the red light to turn on Atlanta Highway. Mary quit talking. I quit talking. And I'm sitting there. And at that moment, I said, you know, why am I struggling with this? Why am I fighting with this? You know, you paid the price. You paid for all my sins. I don't have to continue confessing them like I was taught in my religious system. And if that's not enough, I need to go to hell. And at that moment, there was a peace. I felt like I just floated to the top of that Cadillac. And I was just, it's a wonderful feeling. If you've never had it, you've never experienced it, you don't know what it is. You've got to have it. And if you, you know, if you think I've got a day, you think I can give you numbers of times that I prayed in that altar at Central Assembly of God on the corner of Pine McDonald for 30 and 40 minutes begging for forgiveness. I didn't beg then. I just asked God to, you know, if it wasn't enough, I need to go to hell. And in that moment, it happened just that quick.
You little squeaker. You little squeaker.
Get up here.
Well, you can either there.
I bet there's someone in this audience just like me. We're all sinners. But I thought that somehow I had to make myself perfect. I grew up in a religious system that taught that. And many of them do. In some one manner or another, they teach that somehow you got to clean yourself up. And I tried and tried, and I was baptized about 2 or 3 times and confessed my sins in front of the church. And I'd clean myself up a little while, and then I'd get dirty. Clean it up again and get dirty. And I heard Brother Moore on the radio, not on the television, saw him drawing on the board. I said, man, that makes sense to me. So then one thing led to another, and I came to over at the old church, and for a year or two I understood what was going on. And then one day I was driving from Tallahassee to work in Montgomery, and I remembered Barry walking to one side of the stage and talking about how the world, before the foundation of the world, before the world began, God had this plan. And that plan was for me. And I realized at that point that he died for my sins. It's not just a system that you have to get into and understand. He died for my sins. And all the time I'd been trying, thinking it was something I had to do, but he had already done it.
Amen.
And I understood that. Finally, it registered in my mind. He died for my sins. I didn't have to do anything. I just heard it too many times. But sometimes you'll hear it and you don't apply it to yourself. But I heard it. Barry say it many times. And all of a sudden, the light came on and I said, He died for me. And since that time, I haven't worried about it. I haven't tried to clean myself up. I mean, we can be good moral people. We should be. But I can't clean myself up any more than the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross. He cleaned me, made me perfectly clean. Amen. And so that's my testimony.
I'm going to give you the short version because I'm terrified of public speaking. Several of y'all probably heard mine, but for those that haven't, and so that it's recorded, the short version is when I was 15, that would have been 1993 summer, I was sitting on the back row at Berean Bible Church in Selma. Jerry Sanders passed out a flyer that had three columns on it, lost believers, and saved. And there I was, right in that middle column. I knew who God was, who Christ was. Never accepted. I tricked myself before that point. But sitting right there, I knew I was lost. And I knew what Christ had done for me. And I turned it over to Him at that point. Because when He died on that cross, I was on His mind. Amen. Every one of you were on His mind. And I thank God every day that He sent His Son to die for this dirty, no good, rotten SOB that deserves to go to hell and burn. But Christ put Himself there and took it on Himself for us.
I'll try to make it short and sweet. First of all, I'm envious because Ms. Holloway has gone on. And Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And she has gained what everybody who is saved should be seeking for, to have that what you have in Christ Jesus. And one thing that I have not regretted, is the peace of God when I realized back in 1996, April the 13th, at a Bible conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and there's one coming up this coming September, be there. When I finally heard that the cross is all you need, for many years, I didn't know. I struggled with it. I didn't have a time in my life until that day, that Saturday morning, sitting in the pew, listening to Brother Jerry Lockhart preach that if the cross is not enough, you're going to die and go to hell. And that day, I realized He paid it all. He gave it all to us. I was talking to Carlton last night. Do you ever think about what Jesus said on the cross? It is finished. Have you ever stopped to think about that little phrase, it is finished? What in the name of God do you have to do to get salvation when it's already done? Jesus Christ hung on that cross, bowed His head and said, it is finished, because He became my sin for me. He went down in that grave for me. And when He came back, He atoned me. He left my sin in that grave. And I have not looked back since then. I praise God for the peace of God that I have. And you can have that peace today too. Don't leave. Like Barry said, don't leave through those doors. You don't have a guarantee tonight's going to last. And if you're saved tonight, praise God, you got something to gain. Death is not the stopping point. And I praise God that when I can lay down this old body, this old vile man, I'm going to be with the Lord. At peace. Are you at peace tonight? When you walk out the door tonight, are you going to have peace? Don't wait a minute longer. Trust what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. On that cross, He paid the penalty. Thank you.
The Lord has done a lot for me. I know when I was growing up as a young child, I had a very hard childhood, as a lot of people did. And I was looking for the Lord at that time, knew there was somebody there that was for me, but I didn't know who it was. You know, I knew He was somewhere. I just didn't know who He was. And I would go to different places as a child looking for the Lord. But anyway, in the meantime, at that point where I had been through all these things as a child, they led me down a road that really a lot of people go to, and I'm not quite proud of, you know. Of course, we're all short of the glory, but I went down a few roads that weren't very good. And but the thing is that I was still looking for the Lord. And it's right, you just have to receive, because when I found out the truth about the Lord and that He was all those things that I was at that time, He had already took that upon Himself on that cross 2,000 years ago is when I received the Lord. And I know I went through the process of the salvation and going to the altar. And the call on me, I was ready at that time because the Lord, you know, had put me in that position where He was working on my heart to receive Him. So the call was so strong that I wanted to go down, you know, and jump over the balcony and get there on my knees. But it was because the Lord was calling on me, and He had done so much and delivered me from so much. If it wasn't for me receiving the fact that the Lord had took this for me 2,000 years ago, I would have been dead. And if it wasn't for me knowing who He is, that the death of my mother would have killed me. But I know where she is, and I know I'm going there, and it's because I receive what He's done for me. And it's just awesome, you know, what He has brought me through. And I know a lot of us have been down to that same path, but I know my rags are filthy. You know, I know that I'm not worth anything, but I don't want people to see me. And I pray that every day that people see Christ in me, not who I am, but who He is.
And, amen. Anyone else?
All right. I was kind of short with it. When I was about 10, 11 years old, we was going to Calvary. It was a private school. When Calvary was out there on that way out Narrow Lane Road. Anyhow, I remember falling on conviction and feeling the peace, and I understand what was going on. I understood who He was, and I felt in my heart, and had been dealing with some things at such a young age because I'd come through a broken family. My dad had remarried, and he'd sent me and my brother to Calvary, and that's when I had learned about Jesus and understood. And anyhow, that helped. Once I understood and felt the peace and been dealing with loneliness and the breakup of all that, my mother and my dad and the whole breakup, helped me through that and found the peace and carried on. Well, as I ventured out in life from that point on, went down a pretty rough road, really rough. A lot of disappointment, a lot of rejection, a lot of things like that in my life. It was really tough. Anyhow, when I thought that everything and everybody had turned their back on me and hanging out with the wrong ones and just doing whatever, not going into details of all that I've been through. met a young girl. She got pregnant, and I remember standing in the hospital looking at Hannah when she was born, and looking down and going, "Well, Lord, you know, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do with this child? You know, I ain't done nothing that I should be doing for you. Not living right, not doing right, thinking that, you know, it's supposed to be doing right, you know, trying to do works." And I suddenly felt, you know, His presence, and he's like He talked to me like, "Look, you know, all that don't matter. You know, it's not what you do for me, it's what I want to do for you." And I was like, "You gave me this beautiful gift. I don't understand why." He said, "Well, I just answer them prayers that you've been praying for." And I said, "What's that?" And he says, "You didn't want to be alone." And I said, "I see now. It's starting to make sense. Oh, I understand. You know, it's kind of like when he's talking to you. It's like he's not really talking to you. You understand what's going on. And it's like, oh, yeah, I see now. Okay. Well, Lord, that's, thank you. You know, and I suddenly felt that peace all over again. And it brought me back to when I was much younger. And I said, and how refreshing that was. And I said, okay. Kind of got myself together. Thought about it a little while. I thought, well, what do I do? What do I do now? He said, well, I've carried you through this far. You know of all the times I've been there because I saved your life through all these rough times, places I shouldn't have been, situations. He was there. He saved me, man. Tell me. And he's like, look, you live for me. Get yourself straightened out. He said, I'll help you provide for this child. And it's like the feeling I got was no doubt about it. You know, I knew. And that was great, man. It was, February 1st, I'll never forget it, 1999. That kind of woke me up, this beautiful thing you gave me. I thought it was something great. And really turned me around. But that gift, when I thought I wasn't worth nothing, he gave me something when I thought I wasn't even worth it. And it's wonderful. And he's been working on me. He's done what he said he was going to do. And it brought us this far. And I have no doubt about it. It's going to carry us on.
Amen.
Thank you.
I appreciate all the testimonies. You know, I would hate to do your funeral and not know. That'd be awful. Wouldn't it? Well, I've never heard him. You ever heard his testimony? I don't, never heard it. Well, I'm glad people have testimonies. Go ahead.
I have to follow along with everybody else. We all go through that same road, it seems, no matter where in the world you are. We go to that religious system and they browbeat you and tell you got to come confess your sins, be baptized, all this. So I'm going to skip all of that. I used to live in Connecticut, and like I said, I've been in church all of my life, and my grandparents put the fear of God in me. And there was an incident that happened in my life in Connecticut that broke my marriage up, and my grandmother was concerned about me being up in Connecticut by myself, so she insisted that I come home, and my grandmother raised me, and I wouldn't want to do anything that I knew of to hurt my grandmother, but that was my relationship between her and I. So I came home, which brings me all the way around the world to where I am now, because like someone else said, God had me on his mind 2,000 years ago, and he knew I was struggling with what the people were telling me, like, why do I have to pray for my sins? The Lord already forgave me for him. But no, you got to pray. You got to pray every day, all through the day. So God was working it out for me. He brought me from Connecticut back to Hottoway, Alabama, to Montgomery, Alabama, to Pastor Barry. And I thank and praise him every day because he knew I would pray all during the day at my desk. Lord, please forgive me of all my sins, words, thoughts, and deeds, because I couldn't remember them. Who would want to remember them? So now I don't have to do that. And it is a peace that you will not believe. So if you haven't experienced it, please do. Take it from me. It's the best thing that could ever happen to you. And I thank the Lord for bringing me to Montgomery, Alabama, and to Grace Bible Church.
Praise the Lord.
And I thank him for all of you.
Yep. Don? You can't go by Miss Jean without a hug.
You didn't get one. Are we on?
Yep.
I don't normally do these kind of things, but I just couldn't let it pass tonight because the last time I gave a testimony was shortly after I got saved, and that was a long time ago. But, I can't say a minister pull the strings that brought me to the Lord, because that didn't happen. My two oldest boys is the ones that had a played a part in that. Of course, I know God's the one that played the biggest part in it. But they kept after me, want me to come see their church. My wife and I, we'd get them up on Sunday morning and send them off to church, and we'd go back to bed. That was our way of getting out of late sleep on Sunday morning. Well, they kept on wanting me to see their church. So finally I told her, I said, you know, we're going to have to go get them off our back. So we went. And I don't know what happened that Sunday morning, but I had a lot on my shoulders thinking about everything. And I didn't yield that Sunday morning, but about two Sundays later, I decided to go back. And I went back, and I did. I felt the beckoning of the Lord, and I couldn't stand it no longer. And when I came home that night, my two boys had a ball pouring my whiskey down the sink. I had about $40 worth of whiskey in the cabinet. I took it all out, sat on the counter, and I said, you guys want to pour this out? Oh, man, they was all for that. But
until they got 15. Until they got 15 or 16.
Yeah. But I knew that the Lord had been working on me, because once I yielded and accepted Christ, I couldn't get enough of that book. It seemed like every time I turned around, I was sitting down reading that Bible. I couldn't get enough of it. And so later on, I decided I wanted to learn a little bit more about the Lord and about the Bible. And I went to Bible school. And in fact, I think I was in Wade's class. I can't remember for certain, but he was either just ahead of me. I was in there with him. I don't remember now. But all of that has really, really helped me become a better Christian, too. But I give most of the credit to my two boys. Jeff was just a baby. He don't remember none of that. He didn't get involved in it. He was just a baby then. But I want everybody to know that I'm proud of my children, especially these two right here. They've come a long way, and I want everyone to pray for them, that they'll get stronger and stronger. And I hope each one of you will see what I've seen in them. I'm just thankful tonight that the Lord saved me, and I know I'm going to heaven.
Amen. We're going to go ahead and end. We could, night after night, if you didn't get a chance to give your testimony and you want to, we will give opportunity. Time and time again, we've heard Williams and Carlton and Larry's and stuff. We'd like to hear yours too. And it's a great honor to say goodbye to Mom for just a little season. At 52, it's closing in quick, so it ain't going to be long for me either. And I praise God for that. I'm looking for the day when I am released from this body and can be with the Lord forever. I thank God for that, and I appreciate your patience during this time. I just thought it'd be nice that people could give their testimony at Miss Holloway's going home, and we would know what to say at your funeral if it ever came up. So we appreciate that. Let's end with a prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for Thy love, Thy kindness. We thank You that You offered Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross for us. Father, we know there were a lot of special people watching tonight on the Internet. We just pray that if there was anyone lost, that they would receive all of what You did at Calvary for them right now, right here, on the celebration of Miss Holloway. Father, we're just thankful for the people that give their testimony and stand up and speak out for the Lord Jesus Christ. For I know that brings You the glory and the honor You deserve. And it's not our lives that necessarily always reflect it, but the words in this King James Bible. Father, we're grateful for this book. We're grateful for this church. We're grateful for Miss Holloway And the gift she gave me through Brenda, my special wife and my love of my life, I am so thankful for, Father. We're thankful for the family, and may you ultimately get all the glory and honor for this week for her passing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.